just in that attitude of prayer, just continue to commit yourself this afternoon. It's time for us to receive the word of God. Ask as you have come, that the Lord will speak to you, that you will get a word in season by the time you leave this place. Also pray for the vessel, myself, that the Lord will use, that I will speak exactly what the Lord has for each person, that it shall not be my words, but it shall be the word of the Lord himself. Even as I speak, that the Lord will grant me utterance, will grant me wisdom and rhema, to be able to speak as he has intended me to speak. Let's pray for our brethren that are not here also, remembering Pastor Abraham that has traveled, that the blessings of today shall reach them in God's divine way. And when it's time for them to come back, that they will come back safely in the mighty name of Jesus. Take the glory, Father. Take the adoration. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may have your seat. It's always good to be in church. Hallelujah. On a hot Muscat sunny afternoon. Hallelujah. And it's always a privilege to share God's word with the brethren. Today, something has been just laid on my heart to share with you. And I was taken back when I was thinking of what to deliver, and God took me back to COVID times. Who can remember COVID? I think a lot of us have forgotten COVID, isn't it? We were locked down, masks, and everything. And some of us were expanding in all sorts of forms, isn't it? There was no exercise. We were just increasing ourselves. And I could remember after working from home, I'll come out and I'll walk. And I'll start at the Grand Hyatt, and I'll walk all the way towards Crown Plaza, just by the beach. And go and come back is about 10K, roughly. And that became my exercising pattern. But on those days, I'll be wondering, what shoe will I wear? Because there was a pathway. I could either walk on the pathway or I could walk on the beach. Now, I couldn't decide. Sometimes I had to bring two shoes into the car, one for the beach and one for the pathway. Now, what decided what shoe I'll wear was the water level. Am I correct? So what happened was the water was on high tide. I couldn't go on the beach, so I'll wear my trainers. When it was on the low tide, I'll wear my beach shoes and I'll be able to walk on the beach. Even sometimes, I wouldn't be able to even reach where I wanted to because there was high tide. I wasn't able to cross without entering the water. Okay? And I was looking at that, and the Lord brought to my notice, what is this low tide about? You know? And I tried to go back to my geography. Am I correct? Praise the Lord. I went back to my geography. Can I have the first slide? And I was trying to refresh my memory. And this is what happens during the low tide. Am I correct? Who did geography here? Or who teaches geography? Do you have any geography teacher here? Okay, so I'm permitted to make mistakes. No one will catch me, isn't it? At least some of us, our own geography is also as old as mine. And what I was going to find out, these are tidal cycles. You know what I'm saying? And usually what happens is there's a gravitational pull from the moon on the Earth's surface. And when it pulls, the areas that are closer to the moon and the opposite sides, you will have the high tide. And the areas that are adjacent, you will have the low tide. Am I correct? So this is what happens as the Earth rotates, as the moon rotates. You have that pull, and usually are close twice in 24-hour circles. So you're going to be able to have a low tide and high tide in any 24-hour circle on a day. Am I correct? And because the moon is revolving, okay, there are two different types of high tides and low tides. There's the one that when the sun also is together with the moon, then you will have the highest tides because they have two gravitational pulls, that of the moon and that of the sun. So the attraction is quite larger. But when they are adjacent, and maybe you have a quarter of a moon, you will find out the high tide is not usually as high as the other ones. Am I correct? Am I correct? There's no geography teacher. So the ones that are quite high is called the spring tides, and the other ones are called the neap tides. And all that is based on geography.
And when I was looking at this, I said, there must really be a God. Hallelujah. These are the natural things that you know that God exists. We didn't happen because of a Big Bang theory. Who can align these things and will make it happen? Some people worship the moon and the suns because of these things that they cannot understand. But it can only be because of God. Hallelujah. Now, apart from the lunar phases, the coastlines also varies when you have a low tide and a high tide. Now, what happens during low tide? Who has seen a low tide before? Have you been to the beach? Hallelujah. Am I correct? And when you go to the low tide, what do you see? It exposes what is left there, isn't it? Sometimes you go and swim when the water is high. Then when there's a low tide, oh, this is how the bottom looks, isn't it? It shows things that are old. It shows things that are ancient. Hallelujah. As the water recedes. Can I have the next slide, please? This is two pictures. Okay? That's Mount Saint-Michel in Normandy, France. And what am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you when the water is high, you can see where the water is, and when the water is low. Now, this is called a low tidal castle. You cannot reach it when the tide is high, isn't it? It's only when it's low you're able to see that. You're able to go. About 3 million tourists go and visit this place. So that's what I'm saying. So you find that it reveals what is there. When the water is there, you couldn't see that there was a bridge. You couldn't see that there was small vegetation. You're able to see the wildlife that's there because the water has reduced to a certain level. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? So, why am I talking about low tides? It's because in our life, we're also like that. We have low tides in our life. We also have high tides in our life. But today, I'll be sharing about the low tides of our life. Praise the Lord. Low tides of our life. When everything has been stripped away, where everything has gone. And that is something that is natural for each one of us as human beings. You go to the Bible, there are people that went through different times. They went through their own low tides. One was Job. Am I correct? Another was Elijah, doing his own different cycles. The woman that didn't have had a child, and her child died. John the Baptist, the greatest evangelist. At the end, he doubted who Jesus was. That was a low point for him. Even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had a low point. When was the low point? Bible scholars. The Garden of Gethsemane, isn't it? He had a low point there. And how did he go through it? Now, out of all of these ones, I've decided to pick one that had a cycle up and down also. And we'll use him to find out what we're talking about, low tides. And that will be Elijah. Praise the Lord. Elijah, the God of Elijah. That's what most people always remember. The Lord God of fire, isn't it? But he had his own low tides. So if you're with me, please, can you open to your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 15. Please, everybody, open your Bibles. Jason, can you just help us read that? 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 15. The New King James Version is what I use, but whatever version you have, you can follow. It's a very common story, but I want us to go through it, and the Lord will speak to us there. Jason,
and,
please.
And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward, and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very common story, isn't it? All of us must have known about this story. But just to give a background, this was almost 900 years before Jesus came. Okay? So that was the timing there. And the king there was Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Now, they were the most wicked people in the nation at that time. And I don't think there's going to be anybody as wicked as that. And that's why, up to now, I've never heard anybody called Ahab. I've not heard any lady called Jezebel. No one would name his child Ahab or Jezebel, to my understanding. I'm here to say Jezebel. Because of how wicked they were. And I'll read 1 Kings chapter 16, 29 to 33. Jason, can you just get that for us? 1 Kings 16, 29 to 33. 1 Kings, yeah, 16. Just go back to 16, 29 to
33. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years.
Go to 33, go on.
Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him.
Go on.
And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Jason. I'm just read that just to reemphasize what the Bible said concerning these ones. And apart from wickedness, you know, when you're worshipping Baal, you're talking of human sacrifices. When you're doing the Asherah pole, there's so many sexual, different things that they used to do. There were so many atrocities they used to do. But this is what this man did with the help of his wife, Jezebel. Hallelujah. And the Lord had had enough of it. And he told Elijah, go there and tell them there will be no rain for 3.5 years. Until he says so. Now, for someone to go and meet that wicked person, he must have been very bold. He must have been very, very confident. Imagine you right now going to go and meet Sultan Haitham and say, thus says the Lord, there shall be no rain in Muscat and Oman for 3.5 years. I don't think you'll come out. I hope people come and get you, isn't it? And that will be the last we hear about you. If they're very lenient, they'll send you back to your home country. If they're not lenient, you'll serve time. Hallelujah. But this is what Elijah did. And as soon as they did that, the Lord took Elijah for a low tide. He was at the peak declaring for the Lord, and the Lord took him through a journey. And it's a journey that each one of us will go through. And this journey is divided into three parts, and which I'm going to talk about. Number one, he took him through an incubation phase. Hallelujah. Elijah, the Lord told Elijah, leave Jezreel, where Ahab was, and go to the brook Cherith. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at that, that's almost 134 kilometers south from Jezreel. Leave that place and go to the brook Cherith. If you go to NIV, what is the brook Cherith?
it talks about Kerith Ravine. It's a ravine. Now, what do you understand by a ravine? A narrow gorge within the geographical landscape, isn't it? With sometimes a brook or water running through. If you go to Oman now, you see a lot of wadis. They're very narrow. Some of them don't even have light. Am I correct? NG4C, are you there with me? Am I correct? Some of you are like going outdoors. You go and see some of those narrow places that there's no light. And this is where the Lord took Elijah to. He took him to a ravine with water flowing through. Dark, narrow, cold, very, very cold. He took him for a prominent place in front of the king to obscurity. Some of us in our lives were coming from that point. The Lord has taken us to a ravine. He has taken us to a place that looks dark. He has taken us to a place that is looking very, it's cold. You don't even understand what God has brought you there. Elijah was an extrovert, very noisy. But in that ravine, he only had his own voice and the voice of the brooks. And maybe the ravens that will come, that will give him food. He had nobody. He was alone by himself. And that's where the Lord told him to go. The beauty about it is that the Lord told him to go there, the Lord still provided for him. There was water, there was ravens with bread and meat. That was a prison to some of us. Am I correct? Have you ever felt like you're in a prison? Sometimes you felt like you're in prison. You might be sitting here, but you still feel you're in prison because of the situation you find yourself in. That was the situation Elijah found himself in. The only thing you could do was to rest and wake up. Rest and wake up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was nothing there. But the Lord did not stop there. Further to that, the brook dried up. I said, God, why are you in this thing? My means of survival is also drying up. My finances are dried up. You brought me here, I don't have anything. The brook dried up. There was no water. And once there was no water, I'm sure the ravens would stop coming. Thank God the Bible said water, because the Lord knows that you can survive with some food, but you cannot survive without water. So that shows the extreme, that there was no water. It dried up. And you'd be wondering, say, Lord, why is my situation so dry? Why is it so dried up? And the Lord was trying to teach Elijah three things by the brook drying up. Three things. The Lord wanted Elijah to stop depending on the brook. Our dependence so often is what we can see. It's the Omani riyals that we're getting, we're depending on. Is that job that we're getting on, we're depending on it. Are you with me, church? And the Lord was trying to teach Elijah, don't depend on this. By Elijah living there, he said, okay, I'm going to sit out through this famine because I'm okay. I don't have a problem. I'm being provided. Even I might be in a cold place, but I'm better than those guys that are out there. I'm okay here, but I'm better than the guys in Nigeria. I'm better than the guys in India. Whatever it is, I'm here. I'm not going through this famine that's happening there. But how about if it rises up? Number two thing that God was also teaching Elijah at that particular point in time, God needed to take him to a better place, to a higher place. He needed the brook to dry up to take Elijah to the next point. Some of us are sitting here. You're supposed to go to the next level, but you're not going to the next level. Until the Lord turns off the tap, as we say it in common language, until the brook dries before you start looking out. Are you with me? Sometimes you're here, you're not meant to be here. If the Lord had told Elijah, go, Elijah would have said, oh, I'm okay here. There's famine outside. But God told him, no, I'm going to dry it because you need to move out. Once the water was finished, the ravens were not coming, Elijah would have started looking where to go to. Are you with me? And that's what God was saying. Don't depend on this, but I need you to move to the next level. Sometimes, how many times have we thought something was bad for us that the Lord has done? By the end of the day, it was something good in our own favor. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Go operate in that way. Number three, is also that the Lord showed that he has not forgotten you. Hallelujah. He's mindful of you.
He's mindful of you. If you're sitting here, you think the Lord has forgotten you. No. I'm here to tell you, He's mindful of you. If He wasn't mindful of Elijah, He would have forgotten about Elijah there. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So it was at that point, Elijah looked and said, oh, what is happening here? Whatever is happening in your life is God that wants you to bring you to a desired end. He has a plan for you. If He's not mindful of you, these things will not happen around you. If He was not mindful of Elijah, He wouldn't have expected this thing to happen. Hallelujah. I think she has showed the next thing, but I thought she was so going to show the next thing. The next one is the journey phase. Okay? The journey phase. After that incubation period that Elijah was there, the Lord said, now I'm going to take you on a journey. And He told him to go where? To cut up and go. He cut up and go to Zarephath. Zarephath. I was trying to check the distance from Brook Cherith, where it was. It's almost equivalent from Muscat to Shinas. Who knows Shinas here? Hallelujah. Shinas is after Sohar. You're going towards Dubai, the old road. You get to Shinas. He asked him to move from that point towards Shinas. That was the distance he was asked to cover. Cross Jezreel, where Ahab was. Go up north. Now, from a brook to a pagan town. Zarephath was a pagan town. It's called Zarephath today. And it was a Phoenician city between the cities of Tyre and Sidon. Now, God has a very good sense of humor. Hallelujah. I read a passage in which I told that Jezebel was the most wicked person. It says, but he married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. Now, God was saying, Elijah, move from the brick chariot, go to Jezebel's hometown. They were looking for him, but go to Jezebel's hometown. If someone's looking for you, you want to go to his territory. Am I correct? You want to go to your own folk where they can hide you and they can keep you. Are you with me? But they asked him to go to enemy territory. So they say, Jezebel, please, I've seen Elijah here. Hallelujah. You run among your kith and kin. But God asked Elijah to go to that place. So he had to journey across to Zarephath. He had to go along that risky path. And what does that tell me? What does that tell you? Sometimes our path to a miracle is through uncharted territory. Risky territory. Are you with me? One. If God wants to take you somewhere, sometimes it's not a smooth highway. It might be a rough road. It might be something you have never tested before. But your miracle is waiting for you on the other end. All He wants you to do is just to step out of the boat the way Peter came out. Some of you say, God, I always use Iraq as a chance. God says, stand up and go to Iraq. You don't know what God has for you there. But Iraq was of old. Now say, go to Ukraine. Some of you will laugh, isn't it? But it's uncharted. Some of you are supposed to start businesses that the Lord wants to bless you with. But it's uncharted territory. I don't want to go there. Some of you are supposed to go to mission fields, but you don't want to touch it because you're not sure of whatever it is, not knowing your blessing on the other side. Imagine Elijah said, no, I'm not going to go to Zarephath because I'm afraid of the road. I can get caught. I can get killed. But the blessings on the other side. And more often than not, that's what God takes us through. Because He requires our obedience. Now, as Elijah was saying, there's going to be a widow that will provide for you. Which means the second point. Sometimes, what you're expecting, your places of blessing is very, very unexpected. Are you with me? That's why we say you have to be sensitive in the spirit to know where God's going to bless you. Oftentimes, we'll be looking at, this is a person that can bless me. And you're looking towards that.
Meanwhile, your blessing is next to you, you cannot see it. He said, a widow. What would a widow going to give me? In those days, widows were of the lower class. They had nothing. Even if the husband was rich, everything was stripped from them. But God asked him to go and meet a widow. Now, sometimes God asks us to go and meet someone to bless us. And we look and say, no, we cannot go there. Praise the Lord. Because he has profiled the scenario, you cannot see it. Are you serious? Are you with me? Sometimes the people that God has asked you to meet can put a word for you. And you get what it is. That's why never look down at anybody as you go in this life. Be open. Be sensitive. Because the Lord will bless you from his own understanding, not from your own understanding. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I can remember when I finished university. And then back in Nigeria, that's before I left the country, everybody wanted to work in the big oil and gas companies, isn't it? And all of us wanted to work there because of what? For loose, as I would say, isn't it? Because of money. And I was working in one of them for my NYC composite service. I was working in Ajib then. And I tried at all corners to enter the company as a full staff. God blocked everything. I couldn't do anything. And I can remember my mother then, she met her former boss and said, okay, my son is Lagos. How come, can he help him with the job? Then she said, okay, write a note for him, let him come and meet me. I got that note from my mom, she wrote for me. I left it on my TV for weeks and months. Because I looked at the place and I said, no, what am I going to do in NETCO? There's no reason, who is this person? I'm not even bothered. I'm looking at the big ExxonMobil, Shell, and all those places. That's what I was looking at. I left it. And to where everything was blocked, that I remembered is a note. Okay, let me try it. I dropped the note. I took the note and went to the reception. I said, oh, I have a note for Sheola then. And immediately, I was ushered to the executive director's office. He said, what are you doing here? He said, what did you read? He said, I told him. He said, your mom worked with me, and I respect her a lot. He called my department head and said, come, find a slot for this young man. That's how I got my first job. Now, it was not the picture that I assumed that it was going to be. That was the path I was thinking it was going to be. But that's the path I started along those ways. So what am I trying to say? Your path of victory, your path of miracle, you should be open to it. It's not the expected plan that you think it's going to be. If that was the case, Elijah would not have gone to meet the widow. Praise the Lord. So we spoke about the journey, isn't it? And sometimes you look at your life now, you're on that journey. You do not know it's going to take. That journey can be 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 1 year, 4 years, 5 years. I don't have the timeline. Only God has the timeline. And you can only know the timeline if he decides to reveal it to you. And it will only be in a place of prayer. And when that time comes, you'll say, time is up. Stand up and go to Zarephath. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are we together? And then he went to Zarephath. That's where the waiting time started, in Zarephath. Now, funny enough, Zarephath means a place of refinement, smelting. I'm a metallurgist, so I know what it is to melt things, to remove things, to pour things. It's not an easy job. Hallelujah. We're talking of heat. We're talking of hot metal. I've learned the hard way in that shop because I've worked in a foundry shop. I made a mistake one time and I put something cold inside something that was hot and it went up. I got burnt, isn't it? But what am I trying to say? That is not an easy place to work. It's a place that you refine and you'll be refined. It's like when you're getting gold, you have to go through a lot of refinement. And that is the place that God asks Elijah to go. That's why I say God has a sense of humor. Out of all the towns, they say, okay, go to the place I'm going to go and refine you. And he was taken there. It was the opposite of an incubation place. He was not in broad daylight. Now, the funny thing is, God asked him to go and stay with the widow. Imagine a man of God going to go and stay with a widow. Some of us will start spreading rumors, isn't it? He was not married to her, but God asked him to go and stay with a widow. Some of us with judgmental minds will say, Elijah has fallen. Elijah has fallen by the wayside. We're quick to judge. If I was Elijah, I said, no, Elijah, I cannot go. I'm a man of God. Why would I go and stay with a widow? I've not married her. Why? But God asked him to go. And he had to go and stay with her. Now, the funny thing is also, as he was living there, he was living in plain sight. People would know the widow had somebody. In Jezebel's territory, he was in plain sight. If you go further in 1 Kings 18, 10 to 20, to 12, and I read that. As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claim you are not there, he made them swear that they could not find you. But now you tell me to go and tell my master and say Elijah is here. I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. This was Obadiah talking with Elijah later on when Elijah said, I want to see Ahab. He explained that someone was looking for him. He was the most wanted person in Israel because he had stopped the rain from coming. But yet he was living in plain sight. Have you ever been living in a place like this? You're saying, oh, what will happen to me today? You're so fearful. I can imagine the people that are living illegally in the U.S. now. Am I correct? With what's happening now, there will be that situation. I step out, ice can catch me, and I'm gone. Theirs would be better, they're gone. Elijah was worse. He'll be killed. But that's where God asked him to live. And he went and met a widow. And Elijah had the audacity. Tell her, go and prepare the meal and give it to me first of all. Understand that? When a famine, go and cook. I should eat first before you. I've never heard of that before. But he had the audacity to do that. Because he knew where God was sent to do. But one thing you have to understand, God does not walk in isolation. He was looking to bless two people. Your blessing might be tied to someone else, and his own blessing might be tied to you. There were two people here, Elijah and the widow. But blessings are coming both ways. God was working on both ends. But the widow, God bless her soul. She went and prepared and gave it to him first of all. How many of us have that faith to be able to do that? That's my question. How many of us have that faith to go and do that? And that brings me to think, whatever I want more in my life, I should be able to give more of that. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Understand that principle. Whatever I want more in my life, I should be able to give more of that also. The widow wanted food and oil, but she wanted to give more than that. Or whatever you have least of is what God wants. That's number two. Whatever you have least of, God wants to see your sacrifice in giving. And that's why sometimes for me it's a no-brainer. When people come and start talking about offering, tithes, how much I should give, for me, it's a no-brainer. Are you with me? Because of these principles. If I want more, I should give more, isn't it? Whatever I have least of, I should give. Even if it's time, your time, you can also give more of that. Whatever you have, you give more if you want more. That's the principle the widow showed us. And she never lacked for the rest of her life. For the rest of the time, it continued flowing. And as I said, I don't give because I want a blessing. I give because I want to be a blessing. I want us to be able to desire the point that we want to be a blessing. It's not kalo-kalo with God. God, I give you this, I collect this back. I give you this, I give you... No. It's I'm giving because I want to be a blessing. I was talking to the youth the other day. I said, it's better for me to be giving than to be receiving. Anything. What option do you want? To be receiving? It's better to be giving. It's better to be a blessing than to be receiving. But the widow showed us what was required in that aspect. And because of that, she was blessed. Elijah was blessed. She was blessed. But because we cannot be blessings, God might not be able to bless us. Because he knows our hearts. Are you with me? God can say, oh, I'll give Brother Marcus 1,000 riyals. I know he's not going to spend anything and anything of God's kingdom. Will he give me the blessing? No. But when he knows that I'm faithful in what he has given me, then he'll give me more. When he looks and says, okay, I'm going to give him 10%, I'm going to give him 20, 30%, he'll give me more. It's a universal principle of life. The more you give, the more you receive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Whether you're a Christian or Muslim or whatever it is, or unbeliever, is a universal principle. Whether you like Bill Gates or not, whether you like what he's doing or not, because he's giving, he will always collect. He'll never be poor till he dies. Because he gives. He gives. And some of us don't see it. Now, nobody knows how far, going back to the wave, the low tide, nobody knows how far the tide will remain. No one knows when the high tide will come back. It's a cycle. And sometimes it happens after a point of great victory, isn't it? You have to go back into a shell and look at it. It's a painful period. We battle with different signs of feelings in our lives that, come, what is happening here? Have you ever been there? Raise your hand, please, if you have been there. Hallelujah. If you have been there, this, I know, I've been there. I have been there several times. You felt nothing is working to your advantage. Nothing is working towards you. It cannot even be about a career. It can be about your children. It can be about your business. It can be about anything. It can be about different things. But you just feel that nothing is happening. It didn't say, am I worth it? You start asking God questions. All of us have that low season. Praise the Lord. And it begins to reveal who we are at that particular point in time. I've seen people when during the low tide, I've forgotten God. This God is not working for me anymore. It brings out your natural character. I've seen people say, oh, if it's not going to go this way, I'm going to go the way of the world. I will cheat. I will do other things. Father Abraham was at a low season. He didn't see his offspring, did he? And what he decided to do? He decided to go and take Hagar, isn't it? With the advice and consent of his wife. And Ishmael was born. And as usual, we say, was suffering the consequences of it up to today, isn't it? Hallelujah. That was one season. That was one low season. He resorted to self-help. Are you resorting to self-help because of where you are? You just feel so vulnerable. There's nothing, there's no future, there's no hope in your life. That's what the low tide is there. But I want to have something to tell you. As the low tide comes, the high tide will come in Jesus' name. The high tide will come. And how do I know that? If I go to the word of God, in Genesis 8:22, at the beginning, Jesus said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, and I will add, low tide and high tide will not cease. So wherever you are in the low tide, the high tide will also come. Hallelujah. And that's God's promise. If you're sitting down there and think that things are not going well, the high tide will come. Habakkuk 2:14 says,
For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for night, but joy comes in the morning. We go back to Elijah that we're talking about. If you fast forward, you go to 1 Kings 18, 36 to 40. It was the same Elijah that was there, that he told them, go and meet me on Mount Carmel. The person that went through all these phases, he said, meet me on Mount Carmel. His confidence came out. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known that this day that you are the God in Israel and I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, that these people may know that you are the Lord of God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell down and consumed the burnt of sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up all the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and executed them. The hunted became the hunter overnight. The high tide came over. It changed for him. The tide will change for you in the mighty name of Jesus. That's the word that our Lord has. This season is just for us to go through, but the tide will change. And the time the tide changes, you have to be ready for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's why I will not leave you here by just talking about it. I'm going to bring it down now to our day-to-day lives, our day-to-day activities, our take-home. What are we to do in this season? Number one, take time to reflect. Elijah was in the ravine. He was reflecting. What is important in your life? What is God doing around you? How is God working? But I said, be sensitive in the spirit. At this stage where you are, you need to reflect. There's a point of reflection. At times, a lot of us do not reflect what God is doing. Don't follow your agenda. Follow God's agenda. At this season, have a point of reflection. That's number one. Number two, read, meditate, fast, and pray. They were reading the announcements today, and I said, next week is going to be full of prayers. Outreach praying, NG4C praying, men praying. Sister Shade, maybe the women should just pray. Let's know that we're all complete. We're all in prayer mode, isn't it? It's very important. Meditate and fast and pray. Your low season of life, that is what you do. Reading the word of God, meditating, fasting and praying. I can imagine what Elijah was doing through those 3.5 years. This was what he was doing. Waiting for the Mount Carmel experience. Day to day, clear a table. When you have a breathing space, a lot of us have a lot of outstandings to do, isn't it? Clear your table. There are things that God has entrusted to us day to day. We need to clear that table. We need to clear them. Are there things you need to do? Are there projects you need to finish up? God has given you a breather to clear up your table. When I say clear your table, there are a lot of things that you haven't done. My company now, work is very low. Business is low. It's a low season. That's what I'm saying. Low tide. I know how it is. I'm even living it. There's not enough work. My first time ever, I'm telling my engineers, go on leave. If you have a sand leave, take leave. Otherwise, I'll ask you to book on idle code. You're being idle, which is not good for you. So if you have a leave, you know, some people like accumulating their leave. So whenever they leave, they can cash it, isn't it? I tell them, no, don't cash it. Just go on leave. 5 years ago, I had 18 months of work ahead for my engineers. Now, I barely have 3 months work or a month of work left. It's a low season. But I told them that at this time,
clear your table? Are there trainings you need to do? Go and do them. Is there reading you need to catch up on? Go and do it. Is there any professional exams you need to do? Catch up on it. So when the high season comes, you will be in a better position. Hallelujah. Same thing for you. I'm saying also, the word of God, prepare yourself because God is taking you to a next level. Number four, plan. After clear, there is plan. Plan. I read it at 6 months, 1 year. Right? Manage what is urgent. One of the things also, once you're in this period, people's emergencies come your way. They throw you off balance. Plan your life. It's a time for you to be able to take a breather and plan. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to go. If you're a family, have a family meeting. And say, how does the future look for us? What do you want to do? Ministry-wise, what are we going to do? Have a recap. When things are happening quickly, you don't have time for that meeting. Am I correct? You're barely in and out. The other point I have is build, reconnect relationships. It's a year of relationships. Pick up a phone, someone you have not heard of. Reconnect. How are you doing? What's happening? Hope you're doing well. Sometimes we get so bothered in the day-to-day chores, we forget about people. Or we're waiting for other people to call us. Waiting for other people to check on you. Time is short. 2 weeks ago, I lost one of my classmates, high school classmates. We're supposed to have a reunion next year. And she's someone that always picks up the phone and calls. How are you? If she's your birthday, she will even post you, give you a phone call. And she went to sleep and she slumped. And she was gone. Now the regret was in the group was that people did not reciprocate and get in touch with her. She was there, but she was not there. A simple phone call. Sister, how are you? A chat. The ones that were able to have that conversation felt slightly much better. Now this is schoolmates. How about family? Sometimes it's out of sight, it's out of mind. You leave, you forget. Sometimes that word of encouragement by that one person is what the person wants to know. That someone is thinking about him. So I challenge you. When you go back home today, whether you're in low tide or high tide, pick up the phone, remember somebody and call. And they say, hello, how are you? God bless you. Not because the person wants anything from him, but just because you're connecting with the person. Build those relationships. And this is the best time. Reestablish good habits. Simple. Sleep, water, drink more water, exercising, isn't it? Good habits, isn't it? When you're less busy. Sometimes when you're less busy, that's when people add weight. They become potato counters, isn't it? You just sit down and do nothing. But this is the time for you to, those habits you have, early morning prayers, rebuild it. This is the time you have that. And above all, you need to rest. You need to rest. There was a time in my season of life when I finished my master's then. I had a job, but I couldn't start a job because visas didn't come through. I had about 4 or 5 months to wait for my results to be confirmed. The Senate will not meet until maybe once or twice a year. And the job was based on the Senate confirming my results. The results were there. You are passed, but the Senate needs to sit down and approve it. You know, all the bureaucratic setup. 3 or 4 months, offer letter, but they said, I can't get you a visa and to give this. And you're afraid the offer letter will go. Say, we cannot wait for you anymore. That was a low season. And I can remember I was speaking to my pastor then, Pastor Albina. And she said, Emmanuel, she said, God is in this rest. She told me this rest. She said, there'll never be a time in your life, your working career, that you have 3 or 4 months rest. So make use of it. And since I started work, at most I've got this 1 month holiday. Her words are true. So whatever season you find yourself, rest in Him. Rest in Him. Don't stress yourself. Because God is in control. And that's why I know this message was for today. When they were giving the offering song, I just said, that's the message. Because the high tide is coming. God has told us how to mind the low tide because the high tide is coming. And I would like the choir to just come up, please. And let's just take that song that we had during the offering. I want all of us to sing about it because our hope is in Him. Before I conclude, hallelujah. My conclusion is this, okay? And as the choir gets up, I know it's impromptu choir. Bear with me. I just felt that the Lord asked us to sing that song. In conclusion, I'll tell you, God is all you need. Hallelujah. Are you with me? God is all you need. Number two, where God guides, He provides. Bear that in mind. Number three, you must trust Him one day at a time. It's very difficult. You want to see the whole picture, but God asks you one day at a time. Hold His hand. Walk with Him one day at a time. But God's promises are hinged on my obedience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They hinge on my obedience. That's my conclusion. Hallelujah.
Sure.
The low tide will come. The high tide is coming. But we have to live through the low tide. And when we live through the whole tide, we know our trust and our hope is in God, isn't it? Let the choir minister to us as we all sing along with them. And then I'll come out and we'll say the closing prayer and the benediction.
The Lord is my life. Salvation, who shall
I fear?
Oh Lord,
shall I be afraid?
The Lord is
the Lord is my salvation.
Who shall I fear? Oh Lord,
shall I fear?
The Lord is the Lord is my life. Salvation, who shall I fear?
Shall I fear?
The Lord is the Lord,
who shall
fear? I will wait on you, I will wait on you. I will wait on you, I will trust in you. I trust in you, I will trust in you. I will remain confident in this. I will see. Oh, I will remain confident in this. I will see. I will see you, Lord. I will remain confident. Confident, I will remain. Confident in this, I will see. We set our hope on you. We set our hope on you. You, Lord. On you, Lord. Everlasting God. You are the everlasting God. I set my hope on you, I set my hope on you. We set our hope
on you,
we set our hope
on you.
Every day and night,
the everlasting God. You are the everlasting God.
All my days, I will set my hope on you. We set our hope
on you.
We set our hope. It's on you, Lord. It's on you, Lord.
One more time.
We set our hope. Set our hope on you. We set our hope
on you.
We set our hope. We set our hope on you. You are the everlasting God. You are.
Church, one more time.
We said our hope on you.
We said our hope on you,
Lord.
We said our hope on you, Lord. You are the everlasting God. You are the everlasting God.
will remain, I will remain confident in this.
I will see the
if you believe it this week, I will remain.
I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord.
Let's continue to decree that you will see the goodness of the Lord in your life. As you are there, as you are sound this one, say, Lord, I will see the goodness. My hope is in you. My trust is in you. Whatever season I'm in, be the low tide, the high tide will come, Father Lord. And I will see your goodness in my life. In this low point of my life, I will see your goodness. My trust is in you. You're the everlasting God. Whatever areas I find myself, it might be in your job, it might be in your family, it might be your children. You will see the good of your children. You will see the good of your wife, or your children, of your spouse, of your job, the Lord will come through for you. Of your stay in this land, the Lord will come through for you. In your spiritual walk with Him, you might be at the valley, but the Lord will see you through. Your trust is in Him. That's the word of the Lord today. Whatever it is you're going through, the Lord is with you. He's very mindful of you. Thank you, Father Lord. Thank you, Father Lord. Thank you for this time in your midst, Father Lord. Thank you because your word has gone forth. Lord, my prayer is that your word would accomplish everything it's meant to accomplish. I pray for every soul that might be at a low point. Let them be reassured that you're mindful of them, that joy will come in the morning. And as at this period, as you're building their character, you're building them up, help them to be able to walk with you for their own good, Father Lord. Where there's loss of hope, rekindle hope, Father Lord, in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Because you're the one and true God. Take the glory, Father Lord. Take the adoration. Father Lord, as we depart today, I pray, Lord, that your presence goes with us. Let it continue to minister to us. And next time we meet, Father Lord, may we come back with testimonies. Take the glory, Father Lord. Take the adoration. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Our first timers, just wait under the shed. Our welcoming team will meet you. God bless you.